Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our texts are the Exodus reading and the John reading for tonight. I will not reread them, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The theme for the second Advent midweek is the Lord set up his tent among us. You see, we are exiles in this world, whether we want to admit it or not. Always from, away from, the one who is our true home. For we are cut off from him by the curse of the law because of our sin. We pray to be delivered from this isolation and emptiness of life apart from him and from his gifts. Our entire goal and hope as Christians is to be restored to a perfect communion and fellowship with God. During this season of Advent, as you did last week, well, you sang it last week, but we pray, O come, Emmanuel. And as you know, Emmanuel means God with us. And only in God-given faith do we truly desire God to be with us, for God to come and to dwell with us as he does in our Emmanuel, the God-man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The season of Advent reminds us that our God is one who does come to be with us. But Christ didn't first appear at Christmas. I think for many Christians, they are tempted to think that the Son of God wasn't doing anything, maybe playing, twiddling his thumbs or playing some tiddlywinks or something in heaven as he waited to become incarnate, enfleshed in the virgin womb. But Jesus was busy and active throughout. The whole idea of Jesus in the Old Testament seems foreign. But in fact, the Son of God has been intimately involved with his people from the very beginning of time. The scriptures say that all things were created through him and through the one who is the Word, that is, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Jesus. Christ, the Son of God, appeared to his chosen people in a pre-incarnate form many times throughout the Old Testament before he was born of the Virgin. At the bidding of his heavenly Father, the Son of God descended to earth at various times to be with the people of Israel, to speak the word of God to them, to guide them, and to deliver them from their enemies. All of this was a precursor to the time when Jesus the Christ would descend to the earth in the ultimate way, taking on very body and soul and becoming the eternal Savior of all mankind. Last week, you heard of how Christ came down to earth and appeared to Moses in the burning bush to announce the release of the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. In today's Old Testament reading, we encounter the Israelites after they are freed, as they have traveled in the wilderness. And we learn of how God was present with the people in the form of the cloud that filled and covered the tabernacle. The tabernacle was like a mobile temple, a large tent for the worship of the Lord and to worship as the Lord had prescribed. As this temple was always intended to be viewed as a temporary thing. That's what tents are, a temporary dwelling. The eternal temple was to come. Yet within it, the mobile temple, was the most holy of places, where the Ark of God was located. The Ark, as we heard tonight, contained the testimonies, that is, the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. It's at this point that they are placed in sight of it, and you see a very Lutheran thing setting right in front of your very eyes, as you have the law placed inside the Ark, and then placed over the Ark, the covering with the two cherubim and the mercy seat, the place where God resides over top of the law, because the gospel is what fulfills the law for us. It doesn't get rid of it. Sometime later, placed into this ark were, as we read in Scripture, Aaron's rod or staff that budded, and a jar of manna that apparently God decided to let survive. Because if you kept it overnight, for the next day it was worms. When that occurred, we're not sure. But we see here that God's presence comes upon this temple, this tent, and upon the Holy of Holies, fills it with such a cloud of smoke that even Moses can't enter in himself. And at night, this cloud would look like fire, and yet it didn't consume, just like the bush. So here he is, present among his people as a cloud in this tabernacle, a cloud that is guiding them, directing them. If the cloud left the temple, they were to pack up their bags and follow. If it stayed, they were to rest. The presence of the Lord in the wilderness was none other than Jesus. As we will see more clearly in just a moment, we heard in the reading of John's Gospel that no one has ever seen God, but that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, has revealed Him to us. This cloud, then, was a revelation of God in His Son. It was the real presence of Christ, the Creator, entering into creation for the sake of His people to lead them to the riches of the promised land. It was a living prophecy of how the heavenly and the earthly would come together in a permanent and enduring way in the conception of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His birth that occurs in Bethlehem. The Apostle John teaches us this: the Word, and that is of course Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. The word "dwelt" there can actually be translated another way. It can be translated tabernacled or even tented. So we could translate John's text: the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus set up His tent in our midst. For the same Lord who dwelt in the tent and made of animal skins has taken on our human flesh, our flesh and blood, body and soul. The glory of the Lord dwells in human skin, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The tabernacle that Jesus descended to fill was our human body and soul. And He did so not just for a little while, but for all eternity. In the wilderness, the cloud would lead the people. But in Christ, the divine and human natures are eternally joined, so that the Son of God is always there to help, to explain, to help us, and will be our true brother, and He will always be true man. The human tabernacle, which is now He now inhabits, is His dwelling place. This helps explain why Jesus can say to His disciples, while He was looking at the temple, "Destroy this temple," but He was referring to His body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up again." God and man come together forever in Christ so that all humanity might be raised up to the glory of God. Jesus is Himself the glory of God, full of grace and truth for us. That's why Christmas is such a joyous time for us. It celebrates this very reality. Though we had separated ourselves from God and cut ourselves off from His life through our sin and the incarnation of Christ, Christ crossed that canyon that we could not, the canyon of our sins. He bridged the gap between heaven and earth and brought us back to God. Through the human nature of Christ, we have been reconciled to the Heavenly Father. God and man have literally been reunited in Jesus. And now we have access to heaven by His holy name. The human and the divine are one in Christ. And so through faith in Him, we have been made one with God. We have been restored to His holy fellowship. This is the glory of Christmas. We see this fellowship foreshadowed in the cloud that descended on the tabernacle in the wilderness. And clouds are even connected to Jesus in his ministry in the New Testament. For instance, when Jesus revealed his glory to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they got a little discombobulated with Moses and Elijah being there. Sorry for the light doing the Morse code. I apologize. We have to fix that. But they wanted to build booths or tabernacles for Moses and Elijah to reside in. And then a cloud comes upon them. And when it lifts, all that's left is Jesus and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Again, when Jesus ascended into heaven, it was a cloud that hid him from the disciples' sight. And what are clouds made of? Well, of course, water. It is through water that Christ is present with us in baptism and makes our bodies his temple, the tabernacle for his Holy Spirit. It is also written that when the Lord returns, he will come in the clouds with great power and glory to bring redemption to his people on the last day. Revelation 21 describes the fulfillment of our Advent hope to come on the last day when we read, "Behold, the dwelling place of God that is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be there, be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." No more isolation, no more exile for us. We will experience the fulfillment of the Lord's name, Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, as we prepare in this Advent season for both Christmas and for our Lord's second coming, let us be like the children of Israel, traveling with the cloud of the tabernacle. Let us faithfully and patiently follow our Lord across the wilderness of this fallen world in which we live, through the grave and into the resurrection and the promised land of eternal life with him in heaven in the world to come. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.